You probably caught this, but today is race day. Up in Indianapolis, we have the Indy 500, big event that goes on here every single year. And I know that some people just love it. If I can confess, I haven't seen the allure, at least to be there. I know that some of you are like, what? I've been to the track, and I've seen a practice, and here's what you do. You can only see like this world view. I like to watch it at home where you can see the whole track, you know, and all those things going on. But we just love racing, don't we? The very common. As soon as we make cars, let's figure out a way to race them. We love to race everything. We have the mini marathon earlier this year. We get out and run. But in fact, as we're growing up, we find all sorts of things to race about. Who can get this done faster? Who can get there? Who can eat their food faster? We just love the idea of racing. If you want to get a small child involved, you know, I need you to pick up your toys. I don't want to pick up my toys. I'll tell you what, let's see who can do it faster. Oh, suddenly they're all over it. That competitive spirit. And it's interesting because scripture uses the idea of a race, the picture of a race, as an imagery for a life of faith. In the book of Hebrews, we read this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, I want you to catch a few things there real quick. This cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, we read about kind of a hall of fame of faith, all these different people out of the Old Testament and their examples of living by faith. He says, and let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. This is not a sprint. This is not a dash. This is a lifelong marathon. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because in a long run, you can get tired. Let's unpack this here a little bit for us. First thing I want you to see here is that in this race, we have been preceded by others. We are not the first people to run this race, and we will not be the last people to run this race. Now, some who've run before us have accomplished some extraordinary feats. You know, there are some people that go out and run the 400 or is it the mile? A mile. And they run it and they run it. But only so many people break world records. Whether we consider the people that we read about in Scripture or we think about great faith leaders throughout history, you know, people like Martin Luther, the reformer, or John Wesley, whose evangelistic work led to the beginning of the Methodist Church, or the hymn writer Fanny Crosby, whose songs are still sung to this day, or Gladys Outward, who led 100 Chinese orphans to safety after the Japanese invaded China, where she was serving. Maybe you've got somebody in history that has inspired you, encouraged you when you look at their example. You think, wow. Will I ever lead a life that way? The truth is, there are a number of people who do have had these big races. But most of us, most people who've preceded us have lived ordinary lives of faithfulness. We love a good story of people overcoming the odds for survival or for victory. Most people live out quiet lives. They go to work. They take care of their families. They raise their children. They volunteer here and there. It's helpful to remember that in the New Testament, that the letters that are being written are often to such people. Paul, Peter, James, their letters are addressing such mundane issues like marriage, getting along with your neighbor or your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here in this morning, surrounded by these walls, covered by this roof. Not so much because of a few ministers who have preached from approximately this spot, but because of the faithfulness of people who gave week after week after week in their offering, who taught Sunday school and led small groups, youth groups. People who helped lead in singing or worked a soundboard, just volunteering their time, doing what they've done. You may wind up doing something that garners a lot of attention, hopefully for nothing illegal. But chances are your life won't make it into any newsprint, won't make it on the 6 o'clock news. But know that whatever you do for Christ matters in the aggregate. It's not just one single person who did something. It's everybody doing what they can do. And over time, it adds up to something bigger. And an ordinary life matters more and more and more. We live in the age where you got to video it. It didn't happen if you didn't record it. But so much of the stuff of life that really makes a difference goes unnoticed, except by the people who were impacted. History remembers the accomplishments of generals. It builds their statues. But families, communities, remember the sacrifices of privates, corporals, sergeants. It's those people. So remember and appreciate those who have brought light into the corner of the world, maybe the corner of the world where you were living. Someone who just shared their love with you, their life with you, who encouraged you, who mentored you, who helped you along, gave you an example. And then turn around and be that for someone else. Don't worry or try to be bigger than life. Just be faithful in what you're doing. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, a church that was very splintered and divided. And one of their issues was over who led them to faith, who was their leader, their minister, so to speak. And Paul said this, he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. Apollos was another teacher, someone who was helping people understand the Old Testament scriptures and how they were revealing Jesus, pointed to Jesus. And he says, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. What we need to see here is that we all have our own race to run. And it's not going to look like everybody else's. You're not running the apostles' race. When we read scripture and look at church history, we learn about the lives of the apostles. We often feel this need, well, I've got to be just like them. I've got to speak like them. But they had a very specific race to run for their time, their role that they had. We can learn from them. We must learn from them. But we're not called to just replicate them. You're not running your parents' race or your grandparents' race or your siblings' race. Maybe some of them were stellar examples of the faith. Maybe they had no faith at all. God does not call you to repeat their history, but to seek and serve him in your generation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Chronicles, we're told about a time when Saul reigned, the first king over Israel. Saul, he had died. David had been anointed. And there was a question, is Israel going to truly embrace David as their king? Are they going to follow him? Are they going to accept him? It wasn't a sure thing. And there's a listing in 1 Chronicles 12 of these different tribes and families that came. And it says, these are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord had said. And then it jumps down a little bit. It says, from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. That's a call for all of us to know the times and know what we should do. To seek first his kingdom. See where he is leading you, letting his word guide you. Learning from the past as you run your race into the future. But don't grade your running based on someone else's race, their run. Run your race. Paul wrote, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God's called you to run your race, not my race, not someone else's race, and to run it with endurance. But let me, as we do this long marathon, let me give you some quick encouragement. Last week or so, I was out in southern Utah with my youngest daughter, and we went to a number of the national parks. And before we went, I'd asked my daughter if she wanted to hike the Narrows, if she had any interest in that, because you have to hike on a river. And I was thinking she was going to say, no, I don't want to mess with that. She's like, oh, yeah, we want to do that. Okay. So you hike about a mile, and then you start hiking in a river. You're literally, there's a few dry spots along the way, but mainly you're hiking through water. And for us, it got about this high on me. Most of the time, it's just kind of around your ankles, maybe up your shins and such. And you're walking, you know, it's not this sand bed. It's just constant rocks everywhere. And you're just trying to kind of find your way through. You have a stick, and you just kind of keep working your way through to kind of steady yourself. You got the current coming against you when you're working your way upstream. That's how you begin. And I found myself, you know, just kind of looking down, make sure I don't trip, don't break an ankle or anything like that. I'm going along. And then every now and then I'd have to remind myself to look up. Because the reason it's called the Narrows is because these canyon walls at about 2,000 feet high rise above you. And the light through, as the day goes by, the light changes, and so the view changes and the colors change as you're going along. But it's so easy to just keep your eyes down, making sure you don't trip and fall into the water. And you have to remind yourself, look up. Look up at the beauty, at the majesty of it all. And as you're running this race, you want to watch where you go, where you walk. You want to watch your step. But you need to also make sure that you take some time and pause and take in the majesty of it all. Take in the majesty, the beauty of your friends, your family, your community. The wonder of our God. We try to do that on Sunday mornings. Just take some time from looking down, making sure we don't trip and fall, to just step back and just go, wow, look at what God is doing. This weekend, we take some time and we think about the beauty of those who sacrificed their lives so that we might be free. This coming summer, we're having a summer reading club. And if you go to an email today that you should have received by now, there's a link. If you haven't, you can sign up to receive an email, just a daily thing, just a scripture, a chapter of scripture. We're going to work our way through Matthew, and then we're going to get into some of Paul's writings. Whether you pull that thing open first thing in the morning, or you're a midday or evening person, just to take some time and take in God's word and just appreciate the beauty of it all. Take in that majesty of who he is. Because if you don't, this race can become very difficult. You need to see this beauty. And you can look up. You can, because we are led by Jesus himself. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 2 said this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, speaking of Jesus, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. You are not running anywhere Jesus has not already been. Whatever emotion, whatever weariness you feel on this race, Jesus has felt that. Whatever pain, whatever loneliness, Jesus has felt it. Whatever weariness, Jesus has felt it. You're not going anywhere. He has not already gone. And then Paul says this, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. Do you see it? You are not running alone. Jesus has run ahead, but he's also running with us. He has said himself, I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you. In 1992 at the Olympics in Barcelona, British runner by the name of Derek Redmond had a mishap. Let me show you a clip here and let you see what happened.
Tom Hammond and Craig Massback back at Olympic Stadium in Barcelona, coming up to the men's 400-meter semifinals. Here are the lane assignments. Steve Lewis in lane three. Top four to Wednesday's final. Steve Lewis in lane three. Roberto Hernandez out quickly in four. Now down the backstretch.
Ismael on the left of the screen is running very, very quickly. And inside of Lewis, Sunday Bada of Nigeria.
And Derek Redmond of Great Britain has pulled up with an injury. Redmond is out.
Derek Redmond, the British record holder and an important member of that British 4x400-meter relay team, as he doesn't want anybody to help him.
And it'll be Lewis to win in 44.50.
And look at this. He's going to try to finish his semifinal race. The British have a certain tradition of running, which you have to respect.
A bizarre finish to this first semifinal in the men's 400 meters. Derek Redmond of Great Britain pulled up with an injury halfway down the back stretch. He's fighting off those trying to help him to finish the race in his lane. And now the pain too much. Swelling throughout Olympic Stadium as Redmond, with assistance this time, approaches the finish line he had wanted so desperately to reach. That is the Olympic spirit.
It gets me right here. This father comes to his son. There's that moment when the son just finally, when he realizes this is dad, just gives in. I'm sure the tears were more than just the pain. He had torn his hamstring. But just all the grief of knowing that that kind of injury had thwarted his plans, his goals for that race. You're not running alone. Right now, some of you, your race is strong. Your steps are sure. Some of you feel like you've been hobbled. You haven't just torn a hamstring, you've broken a leg. This race feels unfinishable. But you're not running alone. I am with you, he says. I am with you. We're not running haphazardly. We have a course marked out for us. Where are we running? We are running to the Father, to his arms. LSU running back Clyde Edwards-Hilaire is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And in a dream come true game, he had a clinching move that just got them a win against Alabama. He had a tackle-breaking touchdown run in the fourth quarter of the game. And as soon as that game was over, this young man ran straight to the stands to the embrace of his father. He told him, well done. Well done. This race goes somewhere. It goes to the Father. Somehow he is running with us. Running to us and waiting for that embrace. One day, you will cross that finish line. One day, you will hear, well done, faithful servant. Enter into your rest. One day, you will hear, well done, daughter. Well done, son. Well done, child. It doesn't matter if you are running at full speed or if you are hobbled up, hands and knees, scrambling just to get to the finish line. One day, the Father will welcome you into his arms. He just says, keep running to me. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and run to me. In a moment, we're going to take communion. And as you take that bread and as you take that cup, will you say to yourself in a whisper or in a shout, I am with you. See that these emblems remind you that he is with you. He is with me. Say it to yourself. Remind yourself that you are not alone. Whatever your race looks like right now. And this morning, if you're not running this race, but you'd like to get into it, if you'd like to learn more about this God who loves you so much that he would take on flesh himself and die on a cross in your place, please seek us out. Come see me this morning, email me, call me. Let us tell you about this God. If you're just hobbling along right now and you need some prayer, seek us out. We will pray with you. We want to encourage you, remind you that you are not alone. We are a team running together. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you. We thank you for this race marked out before us, this imagery that we have. And we thank you that whether we're running through sand pits or up a hill, whatever we might be finding with the wind is in our face, and it just seems like every muscle, every fiber in our body is screaming out, enough, I want to quit, I want to stop. Let us hear that whisper. I am with you. You're not alone. I love you, child. And whether you run briskly across that finish line or just barely crawl, it doesn't matter. Because you love us, Father. Help us see that. Take that to our hearts this morning and in the week to come. Help us now as we remember what you have done for us through Jesus. How he's run this race ahead of us and runs with us even now. In his name we pray. Amen.